Good morning. It is good to see you. Good to be with you. Good to have another opportunity to study God's Word together. And I hope that our lesson this morning will be of encouragement to you and also challenge you to consider your walk with Jesus Christ. If you back up before the reading, before the scripture reading this morning of Ephesians chapter 5, you look beginning at verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 5. God says that wives are to submit to their own husbands as to the Lord. In the next verse, he says, For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. In verse 24, then he says, But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their own husbands in everything. Ephesians chapter 5. Directly above that of verse 22 in the New American Standard Bible, it has this heading, Marriage Like Christ and the Church. The heading proposes a comparison being made in the text between the marriage of a man to a woman and the marriage of Christ to the church. Your marriage to your spouse is important to us, but for the time being and for the purpose of this study, think about your marriage to Christ when considering five things that you need to know about your marriage. Number one, marriage is important. It is more important than the wedding. The wedding day has years of preparation and planning put into it by most brides. The future bride-to-be might fantasize about her wedding, fantasizing about the venue, the colors, the time of year, the decorations, the cakes, and even the guy. Some will make definitive decisions about their wedding as they go through life. Along the way, the bride will choose who her wedding party will be, guests she will invite, and the music to accompany the occasion. She might even rule out some things that she cannot stand about her friends' weddings, the wedding that she saw once in that movie, and the things that turned her dream day into a nightmare, that one long summer night when temperatures were too hot and she had stayed up way too late eating jalapenos. Cinderella may even role play using her friends as the wedding coordinator, the flower girl, the bridesmaid, and maybe even initiating a maid of honor. You see, girls, especially little girls, like painted dolls, and little boys like toy soldiers. But as they grow up, the girls like the soldiers and the boys like the painted dolls. And so the bride will spend much of her life planning for that great day and how to doll herself up for Mr. Right. The wedding day is glamorized by some to such an extent that others say it's overdone. When the wedding is over, the photos are a great keepsake. Maybe the food will last a day or two and continue to help the couple to live the luxurious life. And the gifts help the couple to get things started in making their place a functioning home. But over time, those gifts wear out and need replacing. The food will eventually grow stale and be thrown out. Photos may even be lost. Maybe they're destroyed or misplaced, or maybe damaged in some way. All of this brings to mind this question. Do any of these things make your marriage better? If anything, these things might enhance your wedding experience, but they do not add anything to your marriage. Couples have eloped, wed in small church buildings, or tied the knot at the courthouse or the family lawn, with some being happy for 60 plus years. Other couples have had extravagant calendar-stopping festivals, ceremonies like only Hollywood could create, and yet they were unhappy from the first kiss. Both establish a very simple truth. Marriage is more important than the wedding. The union, the coming together into one, is paramount. How does all this relate to your marriage or our marriage to Christ? Well, baptism is the time at which one is joined to Christ. Romans chapter 7 and verse 4. And the Lord adds that person to His church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. And then with the passing of time, there may be some things that slip the mind. You might not be able to recall the date of your baptism. You might not be able to recall all the particulars about the day or the time or the location or the things that you gave up for the new life in Christ. It may be for you that your ideal baptism at a specific event by that specific person with tons of people around might not have worked out the way you planned it. Those things are not significant. They're not as significant as your relationship with Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 11 through 17, they may even lead to some factions among some. On the other hand, the relationship Christians have with Christ in the church, the bride of Christ, is of eternal significance. Your relationship with Christ is more important than the trivial matters you might forget over time. The comparison then of a nuptial and baptism attests that marriage of either kind is of all-in commitment. Jesus said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it." Matthew 10, verses 37 through 39. We must love Jesus more than we love our family. And we must carry our own cross, following after Jesus. It's part of the marriage. When we forego the temporal things of this earthly life, we can attain heaven. And thus it is a matter of prioritizing. It's a matter of commitment keeping. Our willingness then should be to sacrifice anything that is needed in order to enter heaven. For suitability's sake, look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. There Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross," Luke adds "daily, and follow Me." Verse 25 says, "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for My sake," Mark adds, "and the Gospels, will find it." You see, when a Christian gives all he has to Christ, losing himself identity in the relationship, he will find more than he had to begin with. Paul said it this way in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, "I have been crucified all in with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, I've lost self. But Christ lives in me, I've found more. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me." He was all in, and therefore I'm all in. Marriage is an all-in commitment. Jesus gave us, gave you His all. Jesus intends for each person to count the cost before making the all-in commitment. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus summoned His 12 disciples, called the apostles in verse 2, giving them instruction for service, informing them of the hard road before them, explaining the meaning of discipleship, and revealing the reward of service. He does the same for you. His word attests to all of these things. He tells you how to serve Him. He tells you that the road of living the Christian life, being married to Him as the church, is going to be a difficult road at times. He explains what it means to be a disciple of His. And He explains to you what the cost of that discipleship is. He also reveals to you the reward that is promised ahead. In Luke chapter, or later in chapter 16 of Matthew, Jesus spoke of that cost of discipleship. Revisiting again verses 24 and 25, Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it." He added then in verse 26, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" If he gains. Then he asked, "Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" A relationship with Jesus is going to cost you, but having a weak relationship or no relationship at all with Him is going to cost you more. There is an exchange. To consider then the cost, you need to know the price. You need to know how that price can be paid and how the exchange will take place and what exchange takes place. The words of our Lord in Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 33 emphasize the cost to follow Jesus. The cost is great. So great, in fact, that in Luke 14, beginning in verse 28, Jesus would say that some do not recognize how great the cost is initially. Others are ill-equipped to pay the price. Still others bow out. Then Jesus said in verse 33, "So then, none of you can be My disciple who does not give up all his own possessions." Would you give up everything you have to follow Jesus? Would you give up everything that you've gained by many years of hard work and toil and putting away and saving? Would you give up all of it in order to follow Jesus? If the rich young ruler's story teaches us anything, it does teach us that those things might be required of us. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, the sister's story in Mark 10, 21, and Luke 18, 22 all account that it was required of him. "Go and sell all your possessions. Go and sell all that you have and come and follow Me and you will have eternal life." When some Greeks sought Jesus in order to follow Him, in John chapter 12, He said to them, "He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves Me, he must follow Me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves Me, the Father will honor him." John 12, verses 25 and 26. The price for a saving relationship with Christ is paid by a life of serving. Paul, the author of the Philippian letter, counted the cost, paid the price, and rejoiced in his decision. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, he said, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ." and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. In exchange for a life of serving, the servant receives knowledge of Christ, the actual gaining of Christ, righteousness by faith, fellowship in Christ's sufferings, and resurrection. Counseling before joining to Christ is so important that Jesus instructed His disciples in Matthew 28, verse 19, to go and make disciples of all the nations. He commanded them, including instructions to go and to teach, and to baptize, and to teach the obedient more truths. Jesus wants those who will come to follow Him to know what they are getting into before they make the commitment to follow Him. It is, as we have previously said, an all-in commitment. And Jesus must come first in that relationship. In relation to the church, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 declares, He also is head of the body, the church. And He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. Jesus is first in the church. Jesus is first, or ought to be first, in our relationship with Him. Jesus told His disciples in Matthew chapter 20, in verse number 27, "Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave." In the next verse, He said, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." Jesus took the initiative in establishing a relationship with mankind. He put man's need for forgiveness and redemption before His own exaltation and glorification. He served first everyone who will come to Him. Those who do enter a relationship with Jesus should have the attitude of Paul in Philippians 3 and verse 7. "Whatever things were gained to me, those I have counted loss for the sake of Christ." Marriage is about putting your partner's needs before your own, and Jesus put the church first. And if you're a Christian, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, that's you. He put you first. And He put you first in order to sanctify you, to cleanse you, to glorify you, to make you holy, and to make you blameless. He put your needs of forgiveness and redemption before His own. Therefore, we should never quit. Do not quit on your marriage. The last statement in Revelation 2 and verse 10 cannot be overemphasized. It says, "Be or prove yourselves faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Faithfulness until death is commendable. In fact, only faithfulness until death will receive the crown of life as its reward. Do not quit marriage. Christians at Pergamum were told by Jesus, "I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, a place of false and fake religion, a place where social injustice was rampant, a place of moral decay." And He said that Satan rules there. He says, "I know where you dwell." and you hold fast my name, and did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. Revelation 2 and verse 13. The Lord knows what's happening to His church. He knows what's happening to His bride, and He knows how they are holding fast His name, if they are. And He also knows if they have not, as others have, denied the faith. Therefore, in Revelation chapter 12, a war is revealed, a war between the forces of good and the forces of evil. And these words in Revelation 12, beginning in verse 10 and going through verse 11, John wrote, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ have come. God in Christ win. For the accuser of the brethren, the devil, has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night, and they, the faithful believers, the followers of Christ, overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the death of Christ, and because of the word of his testimony, the gospel. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. The faithful do not quit. They are willing to pay the price of death to be faithful to Jesus Christ. Victory, therefore, Revelation 17, verse 14, belongs to the Lamb, and the Lamb has promised that victory to those who are with Him. These, speaking of some evildoers, Revelation 17, verse 14, will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because He is Lord of lords, King of kings, and those who are with Him are the called and chosen and faithful." God is calling you by the gospel, this good news, to join yourself to His Son, the Lamb. For those who surrender their life to Jesus, God has chosen them to be His, to overcome and to taste the victory. Now you are challenged or charged with being faithful to Him. How is your marriage to Christ? The decision to be baptized into Christ is the greatest decision you will ever make. The understanding that your marriage to Him is more important than the peripherals of the union is paramount to a successful eternal bond. The commitment to be all in should not be taken lightly, but with the proper counting of the cost, nothing less should be acceptable. Knowledge of the price to be paid, the way it is to be handled, and the exchange offered demand that there be a hearing of God's will, a buying into His plan, a changing of heart and mind, and brought to an agreement that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And there ought also to be a uniting of man with Christ, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Uniting in baptism. The humility of mind in putting the cause of Christ before your own wants, needs, and possessions lay a proper foundation for a life of continual service. And the attitude that drives the Christian always onward is the mindset on never quitting. How's your marriage to Christ? Are you ready to be joined with Christ? All things are ready this morning. Are you working on your marriage with Christ? Continually striving to improve that relationship? Continually striving to learn more about Christ? Do you need the help of the church, the bride of Christ, with your marriage to Him? It is the Lord's invitation extended to all who will receive it to come to Him to become part of His body, to be His bride, and to experience all of the wonderful blessings that He intends for those who are His. If you want to receive those blessings, come to Him now as together we stand and as we sing.